Hello everyone, my name is Miles Moore, and you've just tuned into The Moore Media Report, a show that looks at and discusses just what the heck is going on in film and TV. Today we're going to be looking at The Fall Guy, Inside Out 2 new characters, new Spider-Verse short film gets a release date, the Acolyte series, and Deadpool and Wolverine. Joining me today on The Moore Media Report is Eli McDaniel. Eli, tell me a bit about yourself.
Hi guys, so I'm Eli McDaniel. I play a lot of video games, honestly. And been watching a lot of movies lately, so Miles thought it best to get me on here to share my two cents about all these fun topics. Big Star Wars fan and even bigger Destiny 2 fan. That's probably not good, but we'll see.
Nerd. All right, let's get into it. So first, before we get into our main topics, I want to send a tribute and acknowledge the passing of M. Emmett Walsh. Emmett Walsh was a character actor with over 200 credits, and he passed away at the age of 88 due to cardiac arrest at Curbs Memorial Hospital in St. Albans, Vermont. He's known for his roles in iconic movies like Blade Runner, Blood Simple, The Jerk, Fletch, Raising Arizona, Critters, and Knives Out. I personally know him from in Blade Runner, where he plays Lauren Visher. And if you remember the first scene in the movie, he's like the detective in it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because he looks so different.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when I asked you, I was like, I can't remember. I like saw the face. I was like, who again?
Yeah, yeah. Like, but he's been around. And even then, he's also done a ton of voice work. Like a lot of the characters in Adventure Time. I don't know if you ever watched Adventure Time.
I did. I grew up
watching
Adventure Time.
But he voiced like the Cosmic Owl.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So he's been all around. I personally know him the most from, if you've ever seen Christmas with the Cranks, he was the cranky old man that didn't like Tim Allen. So that's how I know him. But it.
I have seen this. He wasn't the part of the Boy Scouts, whatever. He wasn't part of that part in Christmas.
No, but I think he was near them.
Okay. Okay. That's, I think I am remembering.
The movie's kind of like it's like an acid trip. I can't, I watch it every Christmas, but I don't remember it after I watch it.
That's fair.
It's so weird. The book is even weirder. There's a book.
There's a book?
Yeah, there's a book.
I did not know
about Christmas with the Cranks.
Interesting.
But I'm sorry to say he's passed away, but we're here to basically just recognize the great work that he's done. He's been all over this industry, and we're definitely watch his movies.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because they're a phenomenal actor, and he's been around the block. But with that, we're gonna move on to our first topic of the day, which is the Fall Guy movie. I actually know close to nothing about this movie. I only have my notes, but I've heard good things about it. So,
I mean, it's got to be good. It's got Ryan Gosling.
It's got Ryan Gosling. Obviously. He's been in everything recently. So, the director is David Lynch. Writer is Drew Pearce. It had its world premiere at the SXSW on March 12, 2024, and it's going to be released in the United States on May 3rd. So, look out for that in theaters. I'm pretty excited. It's an action comedy featuring Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, Winston Duke, Aaron Taylor Johnson, and Waddingham. I'm gonna go with that. Stephanie Hsu.
I think it's just Sue.
And Sue. Wow, that makes sense. Stephanie Sue and Teresa Palmer in supporting roles. The film follows Colt Seavers, played by Ryan Gosling, a stunt performer who returns to action when he's the lead actor of a film, or when the lead actor of a film goes missing, directed by his former love interest, Jodie. So that kind of sounds interesting. I hear there's going to be like a lot of just pure action stunt, Tom Cruise level, like he's getting into it.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looked like in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of like, I don't know, vibe of the movie, it reminded me a lot of Ryan Reynolds' Free Guy, just like a comedy. And then there are some more serious tones to it. But I think it's going to lean more heavy on the comedy side, just from the trailer I saw. It looked pretty funny, honestly.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah. The film has a budget of $125 million, and it's going to emphasize the significance of stunt performers' work and showcase the various action scenes. So we're actually going to see kind of a breakdown of what these stunt people do, which is kind of insane that we haven't done that already,
right?
Because the amount of stunt work that people do is crazy.
All the time. Especially for these big like action movies that we get all the time.
Yeah, like do you think Paul Rudd is gonna do a crazy action scene? Of course not.
Absolutely not.
He's the face, so you gotta
You can't hurt that face.
But yeah, that's the Fall Guy. That's all the information we have on it right now. So we're definitely going to see it in theaters.
Oh, for sure.
And we'll talk about it when it gets released. Now, our next topic is Inside Out. New characters in Inside Out 2, which I have been waiting for this movie for such a long time.
Right.
And then Pixar decided to make a bunch of other movies that I didn't care for. Elemental was one that I didn't care for.
You didn't care about Elemental?
No.
I didn't watch it in theaters, but when it came out, I was actually babysitting somebody, and they loved that movie. So I finally sat down and watched it with them. It actually isn't that bad.
It's just so mid, though.
It's not the best. I'll give it that. But out of all of their new things, I did enjoy it more than I thought I would.
When you compare it to like what got released this year with Across the Spider, or excuse me, last year with Across the Spider-Verse and The Boy and the Heron.
There's the girl there. Well, the it's hard to stand up to those two in terms of like animated movies.
I'm like, Pixar, better step up your game.
Right? Dude. No kidding. But yeah, this is going to be such a good movie.
We got new characters. It's going to be released on June 14th, and its director is Kelsey Mann. The sequel introduces new emotions, including anxiety. I can never pronounce this next one.
I can't either.
It's like Inu.
Ennui.
I know what it is. It's like sloth. It's like being on your phone all the time.
Yeah, just like laziness
Laziness.
Okay.
Which I thought was already a character, or is that no? That's disgust.
Disgust.
Envy is different. And embarrassment, voiced by Maya Hawke, Adele.
It's Adele.
Adele. Wow. Ayo, I don't know who that is, and Paul Walter, respectively. And then everyone else who is
actually not. I just looked this up. Not everybody is returning.
No, not everyone.
Bill Hader is not returning.
He's not returning. He was anxiety, right? No. He was not. He was fear.
Yeah, he was fear. So him and somebody else aren't returning because of just not getting good money.
They just aren't getting paid enough?
No, not at all.
I mean, that's fair.
So I found this on IGN, actually.
Plus, Bill Hader's like, he's pretty funny.
Right?
He deserves more money, especially.
For sure.
This isn't a topic, but we'll talk about it maybe in a separate episode. But there's a rumor going around, or I don't think it's a rumor at this point, but
yeah, I'm still scarred from the first Cat Nat movie.
Michael Myers, that one was terrifying.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
the memes were glorious. But.
So let's Hallie and Lapira, whoever those are filling in for Bill Hader and Mindy Kaling after they declined to reprise their roles over a pay dispute. So
Is that fear and disgust?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's disgust. So we will not be getting those voice actors. This makes me really sad because I love Bill Hader, and the girl who voiced disgust did a great job. So kind of sucks to see them not come back.
That does suck.
Over, of course, a company like Pixar should have the money to
pay
them.
Yeah, I mean, it's Disney. They have the money.
Exactly. So why they're not is beyond me, but whatever. So yeah, crazy stuff that they're not coming back.
But so this movie is going to explore Riley's teenage years and the complexities of growing up through the eyes of Riley, offering a deeper insight into her emotional journey. Essentially, she's going through puberty, like the end of the first movie.
I was gonna say that's how they ended it.
And it's kind of, I don't know how they're gonna do that like effectively.
Like effectively transition.
I'm worried. I have a feeling they're gonna do a good job, but I'm worried that like if they screw it up, like what will happen?
Yeah, I think they'll do a good job. I mean, in all honesty, because they pushed it far back, they got plenty of time to get it right. And what are you worried about? Just like getting the emotions right, or getting the like transfer from movie one to movie two right?
I think it's more the story.
Yeah,
I'm worried about like how they're gonna incorporate like a new struggle. A new struggle within the movie, because like the new struggle with growing up in a new place, but now she's like centered in this new place.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do now?
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know either. I mean, I think it's kind of hard to mess up, in my opinion, because especially now that we're getting into like the teenage years and the puberty, like there's so many issues that are going to arise.
Yeah,
like
boys,
I think every
hormones.
Kid and just every kid who was a teenager.
Unless she's gay and girls,
right,
or whatever,
doesn't matter. It's all going to be something that in some way, shape, or form someone's experienced. So not that they need to hit it right on the nose, but like no matter what the issue is that she's going to run into, like it's going to hit home for some group in a way. Yeah. Like they'll get the story right for some group, even if like I mean
I'm excited for it. I think it's gonna be great, hopefully.
Sure.
Recently Pixar has been a little lacking recently. Just, I mean, we talked about Elemental.
Yeah.
But even then, it was The Good Dinosaur. That was kind of an...
And that was a while ago,
yeah,
too.
I don't
even think I actually ever watched that. I'm going to be so honest.
The water looked good. That was about it.
Oh, good.
That was like, I think in the marketing, they were just like, the water is so realistic. And I'm like, that's cool, but I came here
about the story.
I came here to watch a story about dinosaurs.
I will say, you can tell when like animation budgets aren't there and you're like, ew, this looks like crap. Yeah. The new Mega Mind show.
The new, oh, yeah. Yeah, that was really
just
bad.
Looks terrible.
Yeah. I've watched it actually. Oh, no. It wasn't good. It was terrible.
I'm shocked it's not good.
Plus, they didn't have Will Ferrell in it.
So. Right? I'm not watching Megamind if it's not Will Ferrell.
Yeah, it was so weird to hear a different voice. I was like, what's going on?
Get this off. Yeah, no. I'm really excited for the new Inside Out 2. I mean, and kind of like what you were saying, I mean, it doesn't matter what the issue is going to be. I personally didn't have the issue growing up of moving somewhere, like somewhere completely new and different, and still hit home for me of just like the struggle between kid and parent. Like, I was a little bit of a rebellious kid. So, and that it hit home for me in a little way, but not as much as the main problem that Riley went through. So I think no matter what, they'll do a good job. Yeah. I'm pretty confident.
Okay. Now there's a lot of stuff. The complexities of the high school or middle school or whatever. Yeah. Oh, that sounds awful. Just thinking about it.
Don't take me back.
Now we can
right?
relive it through Inside Out 2. Relive your trauma.
Relive your trauma. We're bringing it up.
Yep. But hopefully it's good. Hopefully Pixar can get back on its feet after absolutely getting whooped by Sony and other animation companies and just be better.
Right?
I have a feeling it's going to be good. If it's not, crap. But if it's good, good.
Yeah.
But speaking of animation, there's a new Spider-Verse short film that's going to get released pretty soon.
I haven't heard a single thing about this.
Really?
I have not.
I've been super excited. So it got it's premiering actually pretty darn soon on March 27th.
Okay.
So the short film is going to be set in the Spider-Verse franchise. So we'll be within this trilogy that they're doing. But it's going to delve into Miles Morales' struggles and anxiety as he balances the various aspects of his life. I think we're going to look, instead of looking forward, we're going to look a bit backwards.
Like in between the two movies?
Yeah, okay. So, because we saw a little bit of what he was doing.
Like him being actual Spider-Man.
Being Spider-Man. Yeah. So I think we're going to see more of that.
Don't get me wrong. He's always Spider-Man. Yeah. But like average.
Yeah, just doing a normal Spider-Man thing.
Yeah.
Being a friendly neighbor instead of the multiversal Spider-Man. There you go. Yeah. Pretty much, there's not a lot of information out on this as of now, but I'm hoping... I mean, I know it's going to be good. So
it's a little short
film that's going to be hopefully giving more insight to what might be happening in the next film, which I'm super excited for.
And it'd also fill the void of, you know, the third movie that's coming out got delayed. So this is kind of be like, here, like,
I would delay
we know
that film.
That you, exactly. To make it as good as you can, delay it as long as you need to, in my opinion. But I think it's nice that they're giving us like, hey, it's not coming out like soon, but... Here, have this, just as a sort of little like tie you over into.
And
the
that's great. I wish more companies would just delay their films and be like, okay, we need more time on this instead of like rushing it and getting it out there. Flash.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that movie.
Also, never watched that, which kind of makes me sad.
No, I think you chose correctly.
I chose correctly.
Yeah, it was an abomination of a film. $300 million. I just want to. Just say that. $300 million
doesn't matter to make that too much money for terrible CGI, terrible story, terrible plot, terrible.
We're gonna be talking about box office bombs in a later episode of a segment on the show called Tangent Time, so look out for that, because it's gonna be interesting.
Talk about Flash on that.
Oh, it's gonna that's the most expensive movie of the year,
really.
Yeah, that got produced. Oh, so it's definitely and it failed horribly box office wise.
That's crazy. Speaking of just like the topic of Spider-Man real quick, I don't know if you've seen it lately, but there's been this, it's been mainly on Instagram, at least for me. It's probably on TikTok too. An ad from the like just Madam Web account of I think it's their marketing director explaining just why they marketed the movie in the way they did and breaking it down. And it was just a really odd ad for me because I think you rarely ever see like companies or just accounts like Instagram social media accounts of like a specific movie continue to post after the movie's been out.
Yeah, it's been just, so critically panned too, right? Were they trying?
Yeah, I don't know, it felt like they were trying like
the not cover up, but like be like, whoops.
Dig themselves out of a hole. Yeah. If that's what the ad felt like to me, it was weird. I don't think I watched the full thing, but I like saw it and was like, that's the Madam Web account. And it was just like, yeah, they're like marketing coordinator or somebody just like explaining, it's like breaking down the process of how they advertise. And I was like, okay, well, your movie still didn't do that good. But
yeah,
thank you. I'm really excited to see this.
And like, it's not even, it's hard for Madame Web, especially like I'm super happy that we're going to get the short film.
Yeah.
Because Madame Web sucked so much.
Right. I need my Spider-Man.
I need a good set of Spider-Man. And the Madame Web was so, I don't know. It's an obscure character that not many people know about. Mm-hmm. Like, I would know about it because I'm a stupid comic book nerd, but yeah. Are you a stupid comic book nerd?
For the most part, I knew she was a character.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know much about her, but like, I had a like base idea of who she was and her powers and stuff like
and
that.
I don't think a lot of people care or want to even know about her, which is fair. I mean, that they have to go out of their way to find out about her, and it's like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I think it was Sony trying to get their license.
No.
Yeah, I think it might be a license thing because they sold it. Marvel sold it in the, I can't remember, the 90s, I think.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, the film rights.
That's right.
Yeah, so it could be one of those things. Mm-hmm. That's why, remember that Fantastic Four film that came out a couple years ago?
Oh, the one with,
Miles Teller.
Miles Teller, yeah.
The Fan4Stick, that's what fans called it. Oh, yeah. Not fans.
I never watched that one.
No, me neither, but it's simply there's just those, is it Sony who, does Sony own Fantastic Four? I'm pretty sure they do. Or is it Fox?
I think it's Fox. I think Fox. Because I think it kind of falls under the realm of like X-Men and all like that version of the
Fox,
Marvel Universe.
So Fox made that movie specifically so they didn't have to like get rid of the rights so they could keep it. Yeah.
Crazy.
Which sucks. That's reason some movies are made, and that might be a reason why Madame Web was made. I feel really bad for the lead actress, though, of Madame Web.
Oh, I feel bad for all of them. Didn't they all lied to?
Yeah, they all like were very disappointed on how the movie went. It was like one of the worst experiences they've ever went through. And
I mean, they did a lot of script changes too. Like the story, switched like a lot.
It's a nightmare just working with that under that. I would hate it.
Oh, right. And I'm pretty sure, weren't they told like it was originally like a Marvel Cinematic Universe Spider-Man movie?
I think so, yeah.
I think I heard a couple of the actors, or I think it was all the actresses that said like, yeah, they told us it was Marvel, not Sony Marvel.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And one more thing on the Spider-Man note, all the Spider-Man movies are getting re-released here pretty soon.
Yeah, so if you guys want to spend a stupid amount of money on a movie tickets for films that are on streaming services.
But then you get to experience them in the theaters again.
Maybe, but essentially all the Spider-Man movies are, even the Tom Holland ones and the original ones and the Andrew Garfield ones, they're all coming back to theaters. I'm thinking to make back that money they lost on Madame Web.
Wouldn't shock me.
Yep.
Yeah. Because it's not like an anniversary.
No.
Or anything, I don't think.
It's just a weird, they're calling it Spider-Man Monday. That's when it's going to start.
So is it like every Monday?
Yeah, every Monday, like a new one is going to go to theaters. And they're calling it Spider-Man Monday. And I'm like, what?
Okay.
Bro, I got these on DVD.
Right, I was going to say, I have all of them on DVD.
Yeah, I have all of them on DVD and I have streaming services. I don't need to go to the theater to watch them.
Right.
I have a feeling it's not going to do too well, but we will see. But speaking of Marvel, Marvel is owned by Disney. And so Star Wars.
Right.
Yep.
We got there.
Yep. We got there. That was my crappy transition.
Hey, to the next topic.
So I'm a Star Wars fan, but I'm not like a huge Star Wars fan. I know you're a big Star Wars fan. So The Acolyte.
Whew, I'm pretty excited. So it's a mystery thriller set in the High Republic era, which we've gotten a lot
of. Which, if I'm not mistaken, High Republic is before the Grand Republic, the Clone Wars.
Yes, this is going to be the earliest stuff on screen we've ever seen.
Okay.
We've gotten some books from the High Republic era lately. I haven't been able to read any of those, but it's going to be pretty cool. The show's going to release on June 4th, 2024, so this summer, and like all the Star Wars shows that they're doing, it'll be two episodes at first, and then it'll just release bi-weekly after that. It's going to focus on a former Padawan reuniting with her Jedi Master to investigate a series of crimes, revealing sinister forces beyond their expectations. I keep seeing them call it a crossover between Frozen and Kill Bill. They keep describing that show as this.
I mean, Kill Bill, but Frozen?
Yeah.
Like
the Disney Let princess movie? Yes. I don't know how they're...
Is it going to be a musical?
Means? I hope not. I really hope not. I wonder if it will have to do something with, I don't know, siblings? I don't know. I don't know what they mean by that. But I don't know if it was like a showrunner, But I've seen the show Acolyte be described as like a crossover between Frozen and Kill Bill. I don't know what that really means.
Who said that? I'm so curious.
I'll have to look it up, but I just remember I saw it like twice. I think IGN posted about it.
Oh.
We'll see. So the main cast includes Amandla Stenberg, Lee Jung Jae,
I think it's Jacinto.
Jacinto.
I'm not quite sure who most of these people are, to be honest.
Yeah, they're not.
I know who Ann Moss is.
Ann Moss. Daphne Keene.
I'm sure they're going to be great, though.
Yeah. Jodie Turner-Smith, Rebecca Henderson, Charlie Barnett, Dean Charles Chapman, and Carrie Ann Moss. I was thinking a little bit earlier. I'm really excited for the plot of it because I love seeing Jedi on screen, and the High Republic area is mostly, if not all, like
wasn't
just
like the
Jedi
height
stuff.
Of the Jedi?
Yeah. So it's like the height of the Jedi and the Republic before, I guess, like the Separatists really came into play, and just the whole like galaxy is just a lot more just Jedi everywhere, and Sith for that matter.
Yeah,
too.
I thought
like
the Sith, from there's no more rule too at this point.
There is
no rule tool.
No, there's not a rule.
Darth Bane doesn't exist.
Exactly. Yet. Yep. And I mean, we had a game set in this universe, the Knights of the Old Republic. I never played that. That kind of came out way before
it,
I was
but
born, but I've seen a lot about it, and I'm really excited to get like an on-screen adaptation for it. But here's what I was concerned about. We get to see some really, really cool choreography in the prequel movies, and that's like some really good lightsaber fights. And then in the newer Star Wars movies that we've seen, and even some of the shows like Ahsoka, the lightsaber fights and the choreography have not in any way like...
Yeah, especially with like Obi-Wan, like that was rough.
Yeah, just nothing's been as good as the prequels. And now we're getting a show that is all Jedi, and so there's obviously going to be lightsaber fights. And I'm really worried that Acolyte being a TV show and not a movie... The production cost is going to limit the CGI, the VFX, and just the choreography of these lightsaber fights. And that's the one thing I'm not excited for.
Yeah,
it's like,
plus,
I don't want to be disappointed.
They're lowering their budgets on everything. Like, Disney's lowering their budgets.
Yeah.
On, which is a good move because they've lost a lot of money last year.
But yeah, I think I'm excited for it. And I mean, the casting looks great. I'm just worried that the cost of it being like a show budget and not a movie budget is really going to hinder just how cool it's going to be in terms of like visually what we're going to see. Cause that's a big part of Star Wars.
Just like I feel like
awesome
it's a lot of people
space
like
fights and stuff.
Like casual Star Wars fans don't know about, like I would consider myself like a level above casual, but not to the level of like hyper Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
So I know of it, but I know like specific things of like the High Republic. There was a Sith and Jedi war.
Yes. There
the
was.
Mandalorian wars are in there somewhere. Or was that beforehand?
Well, I personally don't know the specific timeline of it, but it is kind of around the time before like the prequel movie, before Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff happens for that. But
yeah, which is crazy because like no one, they're like, yep, the baby Skywalker, that's the beginning of Star Wars.
Right? Yeah, crazy timeline. But yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm just a little worried that I have it hyped up in my head a lot to be this awesome, just really cool Jedi TV show. And I really hope it delivers. I really do.
So we got some story elements that I have written out for this. So it's going to be a dark show. I mean, you've seen that poster, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
the
bloody,
looks pretty sick.
Yeah, the bloody Jedi or the bloody lightsaber. It's going to explore shadowy secrets and emerging dark side powers, which we've hinted at during the final days of the High Republic era, featuring a villain targeting Jedi and a mysterious mass figure hunting them. So a little murder mystery-esque thing going on. Combat and action. Martial arts is going to play a significant role in fight scenes. So hopefully.
But when I think martial arts, I don't think swords and lightsabers. So I wonder if it's going to be a lot more, you know, maybe kicking and punching.
Yeah, it's going to be
rather
a lot
than
of that.
Like some like lightsaber action.
I hope
action.
They combo it like George Lucas did.
Yeah.
I mean, the prequels are, you know, writing was horrible, but the fight scenes were cool.
We can look past that if it looks cool, right? Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I'm sure they'll definitely mix the two.
But hopefully it's a fresh perspective on in the Star Wars universe. Potential storylines. It may introduce characters within the connections to establish Star Wars lore, potentially including the story of a young Darth Sidious or Darth Plagueis the Wise. Darth Plagueis the Wise. Something like that.
I mean, that would make sense, especially if they're hinting at it being the end of the High Republic era.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's kind of those two that they... Darth Bane or Darth Plagueis the Wise and Darth Sidious, they kind of those two created the rule of twos, and so that will, like, I don't want to say kill off a bunch of, like, Sith, but, like, we know
once we get to the Phantoms,
oh yeah, yeah, they do die. I mean, we see that in the Knights of the Old Republic games, but I can only assume with them, like, saying specifically it's going to be towards the end, I wouldn't be shocked if we at least see Darth Plagueis. I would like to see him. It makes sense.
I have been desperately waiting for, I'm a big fan of the Plagueis book.
Oh, yeah, the Plagueis book. Yeah. Yeah.
Super big fan of that book. I would die if they made, like, an adaptation of that book.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because I don't even think it's canon anymore. I can't remember.
No, there's so many Star Wars books that aren't canon anymore, which is, and it makes me
so
sad.
I read
so
many
sad.
As a kid.
Right? I that's what got me into reading, was, like, the random Star Wars books that were there. Like, there was a Republic Commandos book that I read.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
one of the ones video game.
Great book. Great book. I still have it. I didn't either.
But you're like, the book?
The book? But yeah. Yeah, there's so many of those books that just aren't canon anymore, and it makes me sad because they're really good stories.
Yeah, especially like the Thrawn. I have that book.
I have the Thrawn book,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the Thrawn book.
I won the Thrawn book on a random... There was like this Star Wars meme account on Instagram that when I was in middle school, they were like posted a lot. And so I followed them and liked all their memes because what else was I going to do on Instagram besides look at memes?
Exactly.
And there was one time they were just doing like this giveaway for a Thrawn book. And
did you win it?
I won.
Oh my gosh.
I remember just like, I don't know, maybe I like put it on my story. I just liked it and commented. I don't remember. And then after school, I was sitting on the bus getting ready to go home. And I got a message from the account. It was like, hey, we chose you to win. Just send us your like address and you're good to go. And so I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. But because like we were younger then and social media and that stuff was still a little new. So I told my parents.
What year was this? I'm just curious.
See, it was in eighth grade. Oh, shoot.
So that was like 2000.
Like 17 or 18.
Yeah. So yeah.
17. I think it was 2017.
It's probably right when they started updating things.
Yeah. And so I remember telling my parents, like, I won this book. And like, I just need to give like this account my address. And they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's what are you talking about?
Sketchy.
And I was like, I get it. But like, guys, I promise. Like, he's not going to come steal me or anything. And he didn't. And I got the book.
And you got a book.
And I got a book. And I read it twice. And it was really good. Yeah.
It is a really good book. Mm-hmm. And if you guys want, we'll have a tangent time based on my potential. A long time ago, I wrote out a sequel trilogy script idea outline that I thought would be better, and it heavily involves Thrawn. So if
it
you guys
definitely
have,
is.
You, you fans at home, you non-existent fans as of now because this podcast currently doesn't exist, but if people do listen and they want it, I will have Eli back here on the podcast, and we will talk about our...
How we could have made those three movies 10 times better.
10 times better. So if you want that, let us know.
Absolutely.
Finally, we got our last point.
Oh, yeah.
Our last point. So when this trailer dropped, everyone lost their minds.
Oh, my gosh, right?
Yeah. I lost my mind.
Did they? No. Did they drop the official trailer during the Super Bowl? Or was it before that? Okay.
Or was it before? I can't quite remember, but I remember seeing it and me losing it.
Right.
Deadpool and Wolverine.
Ugh.
It that is the movie. If it's not good, if that movie's not good, then I officially give up on Marvel.
Right.
Like, that's it.
Oh, that'd be so disappointing. They won't mess it up. Right.
I don't know. They've been dropping the ball recently.
Yeah,
like,
but it's
a lot. Consistently.
I know.
Ant-Man, the Quantumania wasn't that good.
Gosh. I also surprisingly
She-Hulk was not funny.
Didn't watch that.
Captain Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Okay, I have to cut slack on that. Show Falcon and Winter Soldier would have been good. Their original storyline was about a virus that was like, I don't know.
Oh,
I don't remember
topical.
The whole exactly. And because they released the show, they
Ooh,
were planning
right
to
COVID,
release the
right?
show during COVID.
Yep.
And then that happened. They're like, well, we should probably rewrite this whole story because that's just too topical and honestly would ruffle a few feathers.
That now that we just think that makes a lot more sense of why I was very confused during the show.
Yeah. So just like quick turnaround to write basically a completely new storyline. Don't get me wrong. It's not the best way they could have done.
But no.
I always personally have to cut them a little bit of slack because I remember seeing.
Rewrites are always a problem.
Right.
And I thought it was boring just personally.
Yeah.
But.
No, it was. I think it was. Definitely. Especially like we went. That was one of the things we got right after Endgame. So we went from Big Bad Thanos to. Random girl who's really mad at everybody. So she's going to start blowing terrorists.
Terrorist.
I'm going to blow stuff up. So yeah, it was just a big drastic change from, you know, and I think that's the problem Marvel has run into is like, we just hyped up Big Bad Thanos and we're on like this mountaintop high with the last two Avengers movies, and then it's
I don't know why they didn't take a break to like lower the hype, because
bring it back down.
They keep going and it's like, oh, it's gonna get bigger and bigger. That's what they did for Kang. I was super excited for Kang. I watched Ant-Man Quantumania. I was like, wow, this is really lame.
Yeah. But I mean, Loki has redeemed
that's
Kang
true. Yeah.
And just that storyline.
Loki is.
But I mean, we won't be getting Kang anymore.
Because of the whole Jonathan Mayer's
He's not the best guy.
Yeah, he's not the best guy. I'm not quite sure. Did it come out as like, did he actually?
Yeah. Okay, I think in the end. That. I remember a little bit ago, it was like the first like allegation, and they're like, oh, well, now we're not sure. But then I think around the time season two of Loki ended, I think was when it was finally like, yeah, he did it.
Yeah.
The allegations are
which
true.
Is like, that screws up your whole,
right?
That's your big bad. And now you lost.
And
it.
Now you lost your big bad.
But here comes Deadpool and Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
We got all this. We got the setup. And now like, we got this movie. It has to be good. If it's not good, then like, I think the MCU is going to die.
Yeah.
And probably
I think
not.
It will be good.
It's going to be slow and painful death, but it will die.
I think it'll be good. And just all the everything they're hoping to tie in together with it. Like I think they're wanting to bring all of like the X-Men universe and mm-hmm. Fantastic Four back into like the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Which is insane.
In its entirety. Which I, now that
especially
going to have that content to expand on, I think we're going to be on the up and up after
Yeah.
This.
Especially because I have been desperately waiting for a Fantastic Four movie mm-hmm. and I heard about it. I was like, finally.
Right. And didn't they just cast Pedro Pascal to play Mr. Fantastic?
They did. And I was like, please. Yes. I mean, Jim Halpert, if you watch Multiversal Madness, I can't ever remember his name from The Office. Jim from The Office. He was Mr. Fantastic.
John Krasinski.
Yeah, John Krasinski. He was in The Office. I actually thought he was played a pretty good Mr.
I know.
Fantastic.
I thought he did too. I was kind of disappointed when I realized it wasn't going to be him. But
yeah.
I mean.
But Pedro Pascal.
I'm not going to turn down more Pedro Pascal in my life.
But essentially, this is my theory with Deadpool and Wolverine. I think because it's so based in the multiversal concept, which is what everybody's doing now,
mm-hmm.
but I think they're gonna use it to retcon a lot of things.
I did not think about that.
Yeah, I think they're gonna use it as a retcon, because think about it, like they're stuck in this little thing, they can't get out of it because of the Kang issue. There's no acknowledgement of Doctor Doom being a character with him in the MCU, so they got a pretty much universal reset for a second.
Yeah. That makes sense. And I mean, especially like with the character that Deadpool is, like you are more Marvel knowledge than I am. But isn't it true that like he like recognizes that he's alive?
He's aware that he's in a comic book. And like, if you ever, I watched this episode of Real Geek News and I learned something. So Deadpool is aware that he's a fictional character in a comic book. Charles Xavier reads his mind. Charles Xavier realizes he's a fictional character too.
Oh my god!
And so he just blows
That's
his
crazy.
Mind. I think they're gonna do something like that.
That'd be cool.
Where it's gonna totally like mess with everything.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming, because this is what I have in my notes, Nexus beings. I don't know if you've heard of Nexus beings before in the Marvel universe.
I've heard the term thrown around, but I cannot describe what.
Okay,
that means.
So Nexus beings have the power to affect probability and the universal time stream. So each reality at reach. They did this. They went on this in Loki.
That
each reality
right,
has
right.
a variant yep. of them serving as a temporal anchor point for the reality in the universe. Similar to Everywhere,
Everything,
Everywhere,
All at Once.
All at Once, which is a fantastic movie, but similar to that. Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman are going to reprise their roles as Deadpool and Wolverine, with Emin Corrin set to portray the main villain, Cassandra Nova. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling a lot of people don't know who Cassandra Nova is.
I saw, what was their name? Oh my gosh. New rock star. I watched him break down just like kind of who that is.
But for those who don't know, Cassandra Nova is a foe of the X-Men, but she's particularly known as the twin brother of Professor X.
Editing Miles here. Cassandra Nova is the twin sister of Professor X, not the twin brother. Sorry about the confusion.
And she's like super powerful, essentially. That's all I'm going to say.
So, like, she could be described as a variant in the show.
Yeah, she I mean, that'd be
basically
an interesting thing to do, but
right.
a variant of Professor X. I don't even know, like, it's hard to say because they're separate, but I have a feeling because of just the multiversal aspect of this, they're going to go between a lot of different timelines.
Yeah. And I think that's the key to, like, potentially retconning and changing stuff. Because, I mean, we just got what happened at the end of Loki season two with him sitting down and basically fixing the temporal loom and all that.
Yep.
And I mean, we see in the trailers that we will get the TVA.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're right in the way of they'll use it to, in a way, prune things out of the cinematic universe.
Because I have a feeling it's like Deadpool's going to do something stupid by accident, or Cassandra is going to want to like destroy the entire multiverse and then just set it back to one timeline. So it's hard. It's hard to say of what I think it might happen. But yeah. I have a feeling that it's going to be a genocide of the multiverse, and everything's going to get shwung.
Then you're going to shrink back down.
Yeah, into one singular timeline, yeah. Which is similar to Crisis on Infinite Earths, the DC run. It was a comic book that reset the entire DC universe because there were so many different things going on.
Yeah, that's right.
They reset it to one canon.
And I feel like it's really different because you can do that in the comics. You cannot do that in the cinematic universe because then people are getting confused and it just gets too big to then you are too, I feel like, too stretched
out.
I think that's the
problem they're running into. They're trying to simplify it back again because I would want to. I mean, there's a lot going on and introducing the multiverse.
And they have plenty of content from the comics that they can just focus on one thing like they did when they first started back in Iron Man, when they just started that timeline of just the original Avengers. Got big. Now we'll shrink it back down. We'll start maybe Fantastic Four or X-Men, and then it'll probably get big again, shrink it back down. Who knows?
Yeah, and like eventually this is all panning out to Secret Wars.
Yeah.
Which I love Secret Wars. That's one of the best comics ever. Battle World, awesome. But to get there, it's going to take a bit, and I'm hoping that like this causes like us to get there, or like I want to see how it could get there. Basically, I wanted to restore my faith in Marvel because I've lost it.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think you speak for a lot of people that probably have.
Because I've just been so disappointed and I need it. I need it or else it's like, well, dang, I guess I'm going to be a DC guy again.
No.
I'm excited. We'll talk about this later. But did you hear that James Gunn is heading the DCU? DCU. The new DCU.
Yeah.
It's no more EU. No more EU? It's gone.
Okay.
It's just DCU. And they're... We'll talk about it later, but in another episode of The More Media Report. But they're going to introduce it in 2025 with a new Superman film.
Hey, that's... Oh, but Henry Cavill.
I know.
That'll be hard for me. That because, will be hard. I remember one of the first superhero movies that I had on DVD was The Man of Steel, and I rewatched that all the time as a kid. So it's just going to be weird to see a different
Superman.
There's
a lot of potential with Henry Cavill, too. It's just he didn't have the right scripts.
Yeah, that's fair.
Zack Snyder... I love Zack Snyder, like the next guy, but he can't write his life.
Oh, no.
He can make films look really cool.
Yeah.
He's really good at that. Like, Batman v Superman, terrible movie, but it did look cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Justice League, his cut.
Oh, I did enjoy
really
the Snyder cut.
Long.
Right.
But it looked cool.
Yeah. I enjoyed the Snyder cut more than just like the generic Justice League movie that we got. But, I mean, in the same vein, that whole... universe was just rushed by everything to keep up with Marvel, so
which sucks. But James Gunn is gonna completely just, all right, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna work on our own thing. We're gonna do our own thing. It's gonna be fun. But we'll talk about that later. But that's all I've got here on the More Media Report. News wise we want to encourage listeners, if there are any listeners, because this is episode one, but we want to encourage you to reach out to us, comment. Please tell us what you want to see, what you want to hear us talk about, what you're excited for within the next year, the next couple months of 2024, because there's a lot of cool stuff coming out. Do you want to see a review of the new Ghostbusters film? Because I've been thinking about seeing that, because I haven't yet. I'm debating. It's all debating on you. Will I see the movie? Well, it depends on what you tell me to do.
There we go.
Yep. But again, everyone, thanks for tuning in to the More Media Report. If you want to stay updated with the latest news and trends, subscribe and follow me on all my socials for updates on the new episodes and audience outreach. Catch you on the flip side.